captain of Ingolimus. Akivas faces his job in GOG with Keeve and Ellie and Zooey.
Allie, from the editing room, this has never happened before. Keeve and I recorded this episode like 2 weeks ago, and I just never edited it. Sorry. Sounded sarcastic. I am sorry, but here I am at 4:10 a.m. from the editing room. We're getting this out. Apologies. I just wanted to come in and say that this was recorded 2 weeks ago because, the state of the world is suddenly relevant to NGOG. So this is a time capsule from 2 weeks ago. Back to the show. Hey, fam. Welcome back to New Girl, Old Guy for Season 5, Episode 15, Jeff Day. I'm neither the new girl nor the old guy. My name is Allie Lasher, and I am joined by Akiva Wienerker. I feel like we haven't done the intro in a while.
Oh, yeah, because we're normally just talking about stuff. Here we did like 45 minutes, 50 minutes. Should we have recorded it or no?
No, I don't think so. I mean, look, here's all I want to say today, and then I'm welcome. You're obviously welcome to speak for as long as you want about it. I often have been trying to channel you in the trying times. Even you asked me for advice on something, and I was like, well, I would be like, yes, but Keevy would say, are you going to regret that? You know, whatever. But you have focused a lot when we've spoken offline about the messages of just, thoughtful messages you've received. And I do want to highlight, particularly from the NGOG audience, the messages I've gotten from Jewish people, non-Jewish people, just warm messages of support. And I do try to focus on those messages. So I do think, Keevy, I'm sure you've gotten those too. People have appreciated our conversations on the podcast, or at least have, bared with us while we've fleshed some difficult stuff out here under the title of a podcast that's supposed to be about New Girl.
Yeah. No, I'd say I've almost exclusively gotten support. One or two people have said things. And if you disagree with what we say, politely come into the comments and message us, and we're happy to have a civil conversation. But no, it's been almost universal support. Listen, at the end of the day, obviously, like, the Middle East stuff is contentious, but I think longer to, like, that will be over one day, hopefully soon. But the, like, anti-Semitism is, you know, like, a problem that's here to stay, and that's really, I think, where both of us have been pretty focused on. And like, if you haven't spoken up about it, you should. It's very bad. It's worse than you think. I think people used to think that we were, like, exaggerating. Now it's like, oh, they totally undersold it. And there's just, like, half the world, literally probably half the people on Earth, hate Jews. It's pretty scary. But not the people who listen to this podcast. I would say if you hate Jews and you listen to this podcast, you probably need psychological help.
No, if you hate Jews but you can listen to this podcast, please stay with us, because I think the tides will be turning then in your mind.
Season important. 6, we will sell you
if
the
you
Jewish
have,
people.
Previously hating Jews is not a crime if you're welcome to turning your mind around. We will welcome you back. Reformation, whatever, is key. I put this out on Instagram before I knew how relevant it was directly to me. This was more about somebody who had done this to my friend. But if you're posting and you're advocating for causes that you think are worth advocating for, and you should do that, and you have to block a member of a marginalized group before you do that, you might be actually tweeting anti-Semitism. So think about that, but not this audience. And thank you, everyone, for your support. Again, it means the world. I cry a lot, and it's nicer to cry when I get a nice message. I'm crying from your support, and I'm trying to get back to everyone who reaches out, and I will. If I haven't yet, I will.
Mm-hmm. What didn't make me cry this episode of New Girl? It was fine, but also
it wasn't that good.
It's not a great episode. I also watched it a week ago because we were going to record last week, and it never ended up happening.
Allie from the editing room, this just really made me laugh that this episode is going up a month after Akiva has watched the episode to the show.
So I have to remember, this is actually this episode and 300 Feet, the restraining order episode that we really didn't like last week, aired back to back.
I didn't dislike it as much as you didn't.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't like aired back to back. Oh, so we should have done both. I think we had a rule once that if both episodes air the same night.
I don't think it did. I thought it was April 12th and April 19th.
No, they're both the 12th. Next week's the 19th.
That's not what IMDb says, because you know I didn't do that math. I always go to IMDb to look up the date.
I'm on Wiki.
Oh, well, what sources can you believe these days, Akiva?
I trust Wikipedia.
IMDb says April 19th for Jeff Day, but it also says April 19th for Helmet. So there's some time for you to think about that next.
All right, we're gonna have to get to the bottom of this for next week, because maybe at some point soon we'll do a double ep because there's a couple nights with that at two episodes.
Wow. All right. Well, you know, we can't do it for 300 Feet in this episode because I've done it. So we can just decide to do it for Helmet and Road Trip.
No, I think it's Road Trip and a chill day in. We're together, and
okay,
then Dress and Return to Sender.
Okay, fine.
We have to get double confirmation. This is what they used to tell us, you know, in the research room. Like, trust but verify. You got to get two sources before you run with something like this.
Sometimes even one source would be helpful for folks.
Yes, and Wikipedia, you know, I do use Wikipedia when I'm working. Like, let's say I'm at the Olympics a lot. You reverse use Wikipedia. It's incredible.
Oh, yeah, because they cite their sources. Then you go to those sources.
Some incredible nerd is up there. They'll do the draw for a random judo tournament. And some guy will put them all in within 2 minutes. And, like, the actual official website for, like, the Judo Federation, some people probably getting paid a lot of money to, like, do it, don't do the draw. So the only place that exists on Earth is on Wikipedia, basically. And then they'll link to, like, some back-end, like, PDF from the official website. It's incredible. Wikipedia is really, you truly couldn't do stuff like that without Wikipedia.
I would urge people to use Wikipedia these days. I'd be happy with Wikipedia.
And lawyers, like, if your lawyer's not on Wikipedia, they're not really a good lawyer, is what I've heard.
Well, or if your lawyer's on Wikipedia, they might be a terrible lawyer. You got to read the article, see why they're on Wikipedia.
That's true.
Michael Cohen on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
I have some old business, Keith. Mm-hmm. So last week we made the huge mistake of discussing Taylor Swift without knowledge. And we have a very kind response from someone who identified themselves only as Swiftie. So here's a correction. Okay, as a Swiftie, I am actually contractually obligated to correct a record. Taylor writes all of her songs herself. The entirety of Speak Now is self-written, and her co-writers have stated numerous times that they act as editors to cut down her ideas to be more manageable in length. Also, some of her co-writers, Ahem, Martin, and Shellback, require writing credit on anything they produce, even if they didn't write it. Kind of bullshit. You can listen to any of her demos from 1989 or making of songs from Reputation and hear nearly completed songs before they're even brought to a producer. Okay, Swiftie, accomplished. Yay, new girl.
Yeah. I this person brought their sources, so I appreciate them.
Yeah, I think I can't really remember why we had this conversation, but I do remember wondering if she writes her songs herself. I think we mostly came out that she does, and then just highlighted that there were a few shared credits. That said, I want to unequivocally say that I have the utmost respect for Taylor Swift. That's what I want to come out of this.
Yes.
If the only thing you remember from this podcast.
You can't deal. I couldn't deal with, like, the anti-Semites and, like, the Swifties thinking that we're out to get them.
No, I want to just say, and I think I said this last week, because I must have been talking about the Travis Kelce of it all. Like, I was involved in a conversation with Rourke about whether or not this is real or PR, like, a month ago. And I buy it because I'm a romantic for all of
this. I mean, he went to Argentina during a bye week. Nobody's leaving during the bye week.
Well, no. In fairness, Rourke and I had this conversation very early on. We have not revisited it with the new information we've seen. But, like, maybe, because my big argument was, like, well, what does she need? What is she gaining from this? She doesn't need anything from him. Like, she's dating down, you know, whatever. And I'm, mm-hmm. I was more of a Travis Kelce fan than I was a Taylor Swift fan before this. And I'm saying that, but I have never liked Taylor Swift more than I do in the she's dating Travis Kelce. She's with her girlies at the game. She's acting like a teenager, like pointing to him during the concert. Like, I am living for this era. In that case, maybe it is PR, because it has, if she wanted to just invite in the sort of neutral people who don't really think about Taylor Swift, I'm in, baby. I love it.
Yeah, no, I agree. Listen, I do think a lot of what she does is for PR, but who cares? Like, it's, you know, if people like it, they like it. And
well, but that's the question, though. What is to be gained from dating Travis Kelce?
I'll say this. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce will be engaged by the start of next football season if they don't break up in the next 3 weeks.
I've heard February to April as the expected time.
Engagement already? That's what the odds makers are saying?
Well, that's what one woman on TikTok was saying.
That's incredible.
I am big enough to admit that my one source for that is TikTok. Why not? Why not? If I had Travis Kelce, or more like, I'm more of a Jason Kelce guy myself, but if I were Taylor Swift and I had the slew of losers I had previously dated and I had Travis Kelce and I was happy, I'd be like, let's do it. Allie from the editing room. Look, I know this is extremely important. I have to update you. I have to keep myself honest. I still largely stand by that comment, but I did recently see a video of Travis Kelce taking the one chip challenge where you eat a really spicy chip and, you know, slight ick unlocked. Them's the breaks. Back to the show. I'm tired. I'm tired of waiting 6 years with losers. Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah, he's so much better than the loser British guy who everyone already forgot their name.
I think it's Joe Allen, but I only know it because of the Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce put him on the map.
Speaking of Wikipedia, he probably doesn't even have a Wikipedia page anymore now that he's broken up with
Taylor. I wouldn't want to read it. I'm sure it's got some unfavorable messages.
He's not linked, I'm sure, on her bio. It's like she once dated Joe Alwyn, but then he's unlinked, which is the old
Wow. That's harsh. All right. I love it. I love Taylor Swift changing the lyrics, pointing them. I love her making references to him while he sits next to her dad. Like, I just love it. I love it all. That's so, thank you, Swifty, for the correction. We're on the Swifty side of history here on NGOJ. And I will buy the album, like, the day it comes out if there is a breakup album about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. I will eat that with a spoon.
It would be great. I would love it.
I hope we don't get there, but if we do, I'll be there. All right.
Jeff Day.
Well, no, there's some moral business. First of all, nobody asked me. Nobody wanted more information about my Sims streaming. I'm shocked about that.
Oh, wow.
That's still going strong. Anyway, Kato Tomato says, I'm an old Renap listener and have dipped my toes into the Challenger hop-ups, but I'm new to NGOJ.
Do you think old Renap listener means they've been listening for a long time or they used to listen?
Oh, I thought you meant, are they identifying themselves as an old person who listens to Renap?
No, that's choice C. I'm saying an old Renap, like, oh, I'm an old Seinfeld fan, but like, all right, that's off there.
No,
or is
I
it like an OG, they're saying?
It's an excellent question. I think what they're saying is they are a long-time Renap listener because they say, I have dipped my toes into the Challenger hop-ups, which means they are not a regular listener of the Challenger hop-ups. So what they're saying is, I listen to Renap, I have occasionally listened to the Challenger wrap-up, but I'm new to NGOG. That's as I read this.
Okay, fair enough.
Which, now that you've called it out, Akiva, how rude. Dipping your toes into the Challenger wrap-ups?
They're just trying it.
Okay. Well, I started, I would say I'm an inconsistent listener of the Seinfeld recap.
Well, it's
I'm
not
an
on.
Old listener. I am a former listener of Renap and an inconsistent listener of the Seinfeld podcast. Okay. So Kato says, I just started New Girl, Old Guy in tandem with a rewatch binge of New Girl, currently on episode 23. Well, slow down, Kato. I have to say, this podcast is so great. You guys have perfected a balance, on accident perhaps, of talking about the episode and also unrelated life banter. Wait till you get to the more recent episodes, Kato. I had listened to hundreds of episodes of Renap, So I guess that answers the question. And I feel I've learned more about Uncle Keeve, a.k.a. Goldie Claws, in 23 episodes of NGOG. No notes. I look forward to catching up before you guys reach the series finale.
Shout out Goldie Claws.
Isn't it funny that we just recently, in episode 100 and something, talked about Goldie Claws, and I guess we've discussed it in the first 23 episodes of NGOG?
Yes, but not in between.
Everything's
sure.
A circle. All right, so I just thought that was a nice message. Thank you, Kato. Hopefully we finish before you are too far caught up.
Yeah, I think I like their chances.
All right. It's interesting. Do you feel you bear more about yourself here than you do on Renap?
Yeah, for sure. I think definitely, because that is, you know, it's a different type of show.
Yeah, but there you have, like, I would say not on every episode. Whereas here, like, all we really have is to talk about the episode and then tell personal stories that relate to the topics of the episode. But
recently they have not related
those.
To the topics of the episodes. But yeah.
Sure. You have episodes of Renap that require that. You have episodes of Renap that are quizzes about you.
True. But I think it's maybe because our audience is probably not. It's a little more intimate here, you know?
No, I mean, I for sure agree. I speak almost nothing about myself or personal life on the Challenger Hap Up. I think I, like, mentioned my dad died the episode. I recorded the day after my dad died. I think I mentioned that at the very end of the episode. Otherwise, I don't really bleed into anything personal on the Challenge Hap Up. Because it's not the time for it. Like, who's there to hear about minor
right.
Ryan's
no,
life?
I think so. I mean, you could say that about this show, too. But at least this show is nobody's like, oh, I got to see what happened, you know, because the show's over. New Girl's over.
Yeah, and I think any rewatch podcast, like, if you're listening to a rewatch podcast with the people of the episode, like the actors and actresses, you're presumably looking for background information, what happened, who actually wrote it, oh, was that an ad lib, like that kind of stuff. Otherwise, if you're listening to just two people talk about a show, it's presumably for their point of view on the happenings.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, I will definitely talk about my life probably more than most people on any of my three shows. But recently, I think this one's probably winning in terms of the most.
I was thinking of you. Well, obviously, I was thinking of you, but I was thinking of something similar because I was listening. Spoiler alert, we have a banana minute later, and I was listening to it first in a while. And there's just so much background noise in your life. Like, not just your house. Like, I was like, Akiva never knows peace. And I don't know if that's a pun, but no pun intended. Like, if I'm just here sitting alone, I'm sitting alone in silence. Maybe a siren goes by. Like, you have no, I don't, it seems insane that this is a surprise to me, but.
Well, to just.
A lot of background noise.
Because it is a very loud banana minute. I have my own office, which is very quiet. Although sometimes, like, if, let's say my wife and daughter are arguing or something. And, like, when you have two teenage daughters and a mom, like, I think that does happen a lot. Between the two, you know, the three of them. This is usually someone is fighting or something. So that I'll hear. But in general, honestly, it's pretty quiet. But I specifically, they were going out for a while, so I specifically grabbed Yosef as he was going out the door. So it was pretty chaotic. Everyone was around. My wife was doing a good job of trying to shush people in the background, although she's very loud shusher. She's very loud at shushing. Which
I didn't know if that was Mara or if it was like Noam trying to.
It was Mara, but Mara doesn't realize like some like if someone's going to wake the baby, she'll be louder than the person to wake the baby. But listen, we both have very loud. We both can be very loud, like have loud voices. So I can't really complain. Yeah. So okay. So Kiwi's Digest. Still have Jess and Sam together from last episode, post failed restraining order.
I do remember you predicted that Sam would have one more episode. So
okay,
meaning this was his last episode.
Mm-hmm. Jeff Day. I thought that would be Jess's brother. I think was my prediction last week.
Yes.
And no, Jeff Day is her male, like fake male name she uses to try and buy a car from a salesman who doesn't respect women.
I think you get half credit because Sam did pretend to be Jeff Day with a G
yes.
being her brother.
Yes. Meanwhile, Rhonda, Winston's girlfriend Rhonda, is prankette Sinatra. I mean, she is very into pranks, and we'll get into them. But there's a lot of crazy pranks. Honestly,
is Frankette the? I would say Francine Sinatra.
Francine, Frankie. Like, I was gonna say
like Francine.
Okay.
Frankie Sinatra is probably the best one. You're right.
Yeah, no, Francine doesn't have the pr in it. There's no pr.
It would be Prancine. It doesn't have a K. Prankscene. I think you're right. It's Frankie. So I think it's Frankie Sinatra. I think what you said was prankette. So I was like, Frankette.
Yeah. But yes, yeah, so she is very into pranks. Honestly, one of the better B plots in a while. The episode as a whole, I don't love, but I do like the pranks.
Okay, well, kicking us off, both producer Kelly and Matt, and I almost said Matt Scott, different Matt S, both asked, how do you spell boudoir? Do you know without looking it up?
If you gave me four options, I would definitely pick it.
I'm going to give you one chance to just off the top of your head make
I'm not. I think I'm good at spelling, but how often do I see the word boudoir? Very infrequently.
I'm going to, before I ask you to do it, yeah. I will make you, I don't know, more comfortable, take the pressure off by telling you, I didn't even put this part in my notes because I didn't even want to make a run at it, spelling it for no one.
Okay. I'm going to guess B-O-U-D-O-I-R.
Okay, that's exactly right, and we're never going to know if you cheated because I gave you too much time to
cheat. Can I tell you what I'm doing right now because we talked for an hour first? My eyes are closed. I am lying down, and my eyes are literally closed. So I don't know how I would have cheated because I am not. My glasses are off. My glasses are off, and I'm legally blind without my glasses, so... And my phone is, I don't even think, within a hand reach, so.
I mean, presumably you're close to a computer, but I'm
close to a computer, like, because this is plugged in.
You're tethered.
But that's about it. I'm very comfortable right now. I'm lying across, like, just to paint a picture. If I could get my phone, I could take a picture.
Oh, a picture has been painted. We have a picture.
I'm lying across our bed, like sideways, like my head on my wife's side and my legs on my side. I'm not sure why, but it's just how I ended up.
I'll sometimes do the like the perpendicular or the bed lie when it's not sleep, when it's a crash. It's not a sleep. It's a rest. Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of times I like lean on a pillow, like on my like on my stomach, and like watch a show or something like that.
Oh, you do like a little bye bye birdie to you like on the phone with your legs kicking in the back.
Mm-hmm. But right now I'm on my back with my eyes closed. The glare from the light. If I could get someone to, if someone was home, if I could get them to shut off the lights in here. My eyes are very sensitive to light, but.
By the way, legally blind, is that, do you really mean that? Or is you?
I say it. I don't know if I'm actually there. It might be fake news, but I can't see anything. Like, I am truly, like, if I went outside, I'm trying to think, like, I'm not sure I could, I'm trying to think, it would be actually really interesting.
Script. Give us a number. What's your script?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to ask Mara.
Oh, we've had this conversation.
Like 8.5, something like that?
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
I wonder if I could, like, get to work and back unscathed without my glasses. I don't think I can. I don't think I'd have any depth perception to, like, walk downstairs or...
All right. Back after a brief mid-podcast hiatus. All right. So, Kiwi, you liked this plot that Winston's been dating a lot, and there's a special, you know, two dates in woman in his life, Rhonda, who he's going to bring to the Schmidt and Cece wedding. Matt Stewart says, how long should you be with someone before bringing them to someone's wedding?
It's a great question. I don't know if I'm the right person to ask for this.
We've certainly talked about plus one etiquette in the past because I think there's been multiple wedding sort of plots in New Girl.
What's the...
But maybe not this specifically.
It's a really good question. I'm if it's your sibling's wedding, I feel like you sort of like, or something like that, you get a plus one. And even if it was someone you've been dating for like a few weeks, it wouldn't be insane to invite them to the wedding or something. What do you think? What have you seen? You're out there in the world more than me. What's like a normal number?
Well, I've brought three different guys to weddings, and I've been someone's wedding date once. Same guy. So here's the thing about it. The older I get, it's like, you know, cost permitting, because you shouldn't have to invite a million people to get married. Like, weddings are expensive. So let's take costs out of it and just focus on the, you know, I think it's, I'm very sympathetic when a bride and groom feel like, I only want people I know at this wedding. And if I've never met your partner or someone you're dating or your boyfriend and girlfriend, like, I don't want some stranger at my wedding. Having been someone who has been a stranger at someone's wedding, I mean, technically I was a stranger to Brian's wife at Brian's wedding, but I mean, I was the date of someone who I had never met the bride or groom.
Right.
And it's awkward. Like, it is awkward for the bride and groom, and it is awkward for you as the guest. That said, and now I'm 32, it's like rough sometimes to get invited to like a wedding I have to travel to that I can't bring somebody to. So I'm just, I guess I'm sympathetic to everyone. I think the real consideration, and why I think Matt's question is interesting, is it is somewhat embarrassing, even though it shouldn't be. Like, my last boyfriend and I broke up like a month after I brought him to my best friend's wedding, and we sat at her table. Like, he was in there, and he met all my college friends, and then we broke up like 3 weeks later. And I was like, that's a little embarrassing. Like, nobody cared. Nobody was upset with me. But, like, I wouldn't want to bring someone to that wedding that I'd been on two dates with, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it makes sense.
But if it's, like, a wedding where you're, like, a work friend, then, like, no parents, no rules. Go on Bumble and say, looking for a date for a wedding.
That would be fun. That I feel like that's, like, a Renap episode or something.
That happens all the time. It's like a TikTok genre.
Oh, it is?
Like, I mean, what is Renapa above idea theft? I mean, I think your last podcast was idea theft. So the best line for me was that Schmidt saying, two dates. How do we even know that she's fighting for our army?
It's pretty good. That is a good
okay.
line.
Shout
out to the troops. The troops.
I guess I'm sympathetic to Cece and Schmidt being like, one of our best men, like I think it's been revealed that like Schmidt, Winston is on both sides of the wedding party. So like, it's really rough to bring someone you're two dates into that level of closeness to the wedding. Cause also like all of your best friends are there. It's not like you really need a date. It's not like you're going to be sitting alone at a table. Like that's really where I feel like you need a date. Like I'm a work friend. I don't know a lot of people here. No one's going to be talking to me. I need somebody just to come to talk to dance with.
Right.
Winston's enjoyment of this wedding is not going to be enhanced by this. And in fact, he should hope that he might meet like one of Cece's cousins or something that he missed at the first wedding.
Right. That makes sense.
I don't know. Meanwhile, the A plot, Jess is frustrated because she's having trouble buying a car because she's the victim of misogyny, which I feel like is sitcom-y and real, but also like, have I told you the story of my mom buying a car with my brother?
Maybe.
My mom went, my brother and his wife bought a car, like their family's expanding, whatever, a little while ago. And they brought my mom to the dealership. And by the time they left, she was offered a job at the dealership.
I believe it.
and two or three people, we just had a 70th birthday party for my mom. Multiple people mentioned that in their speeches, including my brother. Like, you need a car purchase. There is no better man for the job than my mother.
It's amazing.
I don't know. You've bought a car. I've never bought a car, so I don't know, like, how realistic this was.
I have a child who just bought a car.
She bought a car?
Yeah.
She won? Did she purchase it, or she wore you down?
She purchased it.
Wow, bat mitzvah money? Where's she getting the money?
I guess she like worked like a lot, babysitting a lot of odd jobs and never spent a penny of it, you know, for the last few
years. Babysitting is, I would like to babysit now. I actually offered Av some babysitting services, but I think the expectation.
I mean, she didn't buy like a brand new Mercedes. She bought like an old used car.
I'm not judging. I'm proud of her. That's,
I mean,
amazing.
It actually looks nice, but I doubt it's in great shape for the price she got. But she did a good job.
I mean, if there was any truth to this, you as a dad would have checked out the car. You have no idea the condition of the car. Then I guess this does not apply. Mara,
she went with Mara, yeah, or her uncle maybe. I wasn't around. I was against it also, so she had to like sneak because I didn't. It makes no sense to me. But whatever,
that was one of my dad's dad jokes. Is like anytime something good happened or my mom did something good, he would shout out, "I was against it." Mm-hmm. But you mean that you were against it?
I was against it, but you know, like, I've been
proven wrong
before.
If we got a birthday present or a Hanukkah present, and I'm like, "Oh my god, I really wanted this," my dad would go, "I was against it."
But was he being earnest, or would he like being serious? Like, I wanted to spend less money or get you something.
No,
different.
He was joking. Like, I'm like, "Oh my god, thanks! I got a cell phone. I'm so excited." I was against it. Like, that's. I mean, is that not my exact sense of humor? Like, anytime
no, for sure.
I've ever done anything nice to you, I'm like, it was inadvertent.
Yeah. Won't happen again.
Someone who's involved in the fantasy league who listens at GOG said something nice to me, and I was like, I will deny that this ever happened. Like, I will never agree with that.
We haven't really talked about it on this podcast that much, but you were really turning in quite a performance as Lash Probes, the host of the fantasy league, which is now down to like almost half the people are gone at this point.
You know, it's been fun. I'm not going to make it this week, but it's been very fun. And it's mostly my reaction to criticism. Like, I think Alex said, like, oh, read the votes. It's so awkward reading votes. So I just kind of Julie Chen'd it and was like, by a vote of 13-1, like, whatever. And Alex very fairly was like, can you read the votes next time? And I was like, not only will I read the votes, but I'm going to make tea-stained parchment paper and make it legit. Like, it's like anytime someone's like, hey, that was totally fair, but could you just do this one thing? And I'm like, oh, well, I'll do it 10 times over.
Yeah.
So it's become very fun.
Allie got offered a job being the person who counts the votes on Survivor, similar to her mom getting dealership gig.
But yeah, I won't be there this week. I'm sad about it. But it's really more of a testament to how seriously everyone else in the league is taking it.
Well, most of the people. But yeah.
I defend you. I believe I was like, well, his country is at war, so.
Yeah, but I don't think. I think even. Although I did do the first tribal council from a Shiva house, which was awkward.
Yeah, that's tough. Not for you. For maybe how you justify. Like, how do you take a FaceTime call in a Shiva?
I was leaving. I was like walking out when it started.
When the call started, when the Shiva started?
Well, no, I was leaving the Shiva to go back home, to like go to the airport when it started. And then my dad's friend offered to take me to the airport, and he was like very insistent.
Oh, right. This was your grandfather's Shiva. This was
my grandfather's Shiva. So yeah. Then I had to have the awkward conversation with him. I was like, I need to be on a work Zoom. But then I knew I couldn't say anything because I couldn't be like, start talking about tribal council stuff in the car. Luckily, it was over pretty fast, the first one, but like it was very awkward because I had to, A, ignore him. Be like, not like, imagine explaining that to a grown man, what we were doing, you know.
I can imagine, because I think earlier on, and I didn't explain that I'm doing this with anyone, but my boyfriend was like in the other room, and I like was like, oh, I have to get on this like thing with Alex and Akiva. This was much closer to October 7th. And I start and I ask questions and I do the vote and like I make fun of everyone who's there and whatever. And I come back, and he's like, I thought that was going to be, like, about Israel. It's like, oh, no, it's like a bunch of freaks, like, casting votes about fantasy football. Mm. So it's like if you expected, like, a work Zoom, and then it's like, you didn't play the right player this week. Like, why was Addison on the bench? It's like not
right.
A work
Ooh,
Zoom.
Ooh, Addison.
Yeah, Addison coming up in multiple tribal councils. All right, let's let's move on. So then we're greeted by Rhonda with a knife in her arm. I'm curious, producer Kelly and Matt Sir both asked something similar, but any of the pranks that Rhonda waged, like this with her knife in the arm or the story about her childhood, did they get you at the time, or you knew where this was going both times?
They got me. No, I think they did a nice job with the pranks. The writers really had some fun this episode.
So you thought a bloody armed, and I get it. Like, the only tell, obviously, I knew what was happening, but Winston's face, he has sort of a knowing face, if you go back. Like, he has a very, like, a little smile, which is perfect, a perfect choice for Lamorne. But we've talked about pranks on this podcast before, and I've told you the prank that a girl in my sorority did, where she like talked all about how she was the first child created like in a petri dish and like IVF, da da da, and having knowing nothing about anything. I was like, oh, okay. And she was like, you're so gullible. It's like, what am I gonna deny your existence? Like, I don't. What do you want me to do here? And that's what happened to me when Cece and Schmidt are just trying to get to know Rhonda, and she's like, tells this devastating story of her childhood, and then was like, wow, you're so stupid for believing that.
Wow. I thought it was great. The last one is really amazing. Honestly, like, it's not a common sitcom trope, sort of like the great prank people. So I thought it was very original, and the pranks themselves were excellent.
Well, excellent bad excellent examples of bad pranks. Or you mean you think these are good pranks?
These are really good pranks. I mean, like, for
no,
a TV
not.
Show. Yeah, like, I think they're good. I think like, the fake-out wedding, they're all good. I think they're all, like, funny. I don't know
TV,
if they're, like, I would
How long has it been since you... Well, okay, that's what I'm trying to press you on, is, like, in a real-life situation, do you think these are good quality pranks, or you think they came up with good examples of someone who is bad at pranks being annoying as hell? Like they hit the right note for what they were writing.
They hit the right note. I'm not saying I would do some of these pranks. I'm saying they hit the...
Well, you're not a great prankster. I'm saying a great prankster.
I'm a famously good prankster.
Good pranks?
Who said I'm not a good prankster?
Well, you were in a water balloon fight and you spent all your time throwing it at a baby's feet. That's not a good prankster.
That's funny. He's like, sometimes we'll come home. It's really his favorite thing, the baby. And he'll be like...
you say he'll come home like he's been out at work. Like, he comes back.
Yeah, but like my wife will, like, let's say pick up the boys from school or something, like... and he calls balloons balilis. So he'll come home and he'll just say, balili fight, balili fight, balili fight. And like, that means it's on. Like, you got to start, you know, putting the water in the balloons. It's like truly his favorite activity.
That's really cute. I told you a big reveal this week with my nephew that he's also a condiment king.
That's great. I really like, the idea that maybe all babies are obsessed with condiments and we just didn't know. Like, it's maybe all babies' favorite things.
I mean, so far, he's just a big ketchup fan. He was literally dipping French fries, licking the ketchup off, and then re-dipping the same fry just as this pure vehicle for ketchup.
You got to try, like, expanding his palate. Like, try giving him other dips and see what he's into. Because I bet he's willing to really go. Like, my son will, like, put anything on challah, and he'll really... you know, he'll go to town on it.
Well, yeah, this baby had a hamburger, and he just ate the buns and then licked the ketchup. So I'm sure he's a hollow-minded condiment king as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you love the prank, so I feel like you might be in a controversial side on this one. But producer Kelly says, do you think Cece and Schmidt are justified in revoking the plus one?
It's very tough to revoke a plus one, I feel like. It's not an ideal situation, but yeah, I think here, they have their reasons. Like, what do you think?
What's harder, revoking a plus one or a full disinvite?
Revoking a plus one is not as hard. A disinvite must be brutal. Like, to be disinvited from a wedding, because A, it's like, I'm cutting you out of my life forever, right? You're never speaking to that person again if you get disinvited.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, and I think with Winston around, it's different, but if like, you have a real problem with somebody's plus one. And, like, realistically, should you expect them to still come to the wedding if you've got the feud but they're plus one? Or do you kind of say, I mean, I still think you put it to them of, like,
right,
we really can't have that person. If your partner is, like, racist, we really can't have them at this wedding.
Sure.
You are welcome to decide to come or not come, or if they go down with the ship.
It seems like this is a very common, like, dear whatever, like, dear Abby type of letter. It's basically like, it's usually like the dad's new girlfriend is like a horrible person or something like that, right? And like, what do you do? Like, this person, I don't want them there, but I love my father, or I love my mother, I want them at the wedding, but the person that they're bringing is abhorrent and blah, 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 blah. That's tough. The disinvite usually means the original person is not coming also.
Look, hold me accountable if I ever do this, but if I'm ever that person, if I'm ever the controversial girlfriend, I feel like I'd be like, let's not make this worse. Go to your daughter's wedding. What, are you mad? And I don't
so
need to be
in
there.
This scenario,
maybe I'd be so removed. I'd be like, it's obviously not about me. She just doesn't want anyone to replace her mom's position. You know, like, mm-hmm. Of course there's drama.
I am getting a little bit of joy thinking of you as an evil stepmom. I don't think you ever would be, but the idea is pretty funny if you think about it, right? Like, you're painting this picture where, like, I think you're too, I honestly think you'd be a very bad evil stepmom.
Yeah, I would be so afraid to step on any toe. I would probably accidentally become best friends with the ex-wife such that I have to leave the husband out of loyalty. Like, I would be so overcorrecting. I'd be like, I don't want to step on your toes. Like,
right.
Can we do
your
anything?
Your team ex-wife.
Suddenly, mm-hmm. Now I'm at the dance recital as a friend of the wife, ex-girlfriend of the ex-husband. Now I'm still there. Now I'm doubling down on his misery because I've joined forces. I'm Sophie Turner and T-Swift, but I didn't break up with Joe Jonas. Like, I did it before we broke up, you know?
I keep getting recommended on Instagram, and I don't know why. Like, these moms from Florida that basically did that. Like, one is married to the other one's ex-husband and their best friends or something like that. They're not like, funny. Nobody on TikTok or Instagram that I come across, I'm not on TikTok, but like a lot of Instagram content now is repurposed TikTok content, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't speak to me. Maybe I'm old, but to me it's all not funny.
No, the only TikTok content worth consuming, particularly right now, is Pixarella, who's streaming The Sims 4. That is the only thing that people should be spending their time on.
Okay.
And honestly, I don't even like that we're still on this podcast because I have an hour and a half of that stream I want to consume, and I'm sitting here jonesing for it.
All right, so let's get to the end then.
All right, so you like They Got Married as a prank, as like this one sort of makes sense to me. Like, they're sticking it to, oh, you think she's not special enough? Well, now we're married. Like, anyone could get married. You're not so special. I cried here. There's two parts of this that kill me. The first is the entire exchange, which I transcribed. Let's say I told you I invested all of my money in boogie boards. Well, that's just a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took you to my accountant's office, and sitting behind the desk was just a little crab in sunglasses. Well, that still sounds like a lie. And then my real accountant came out and showed you the books, and I had invested all my money in boogie boards. Oh my God, that's a good one. Like, that is the stupid. Whoever wrote that is a genius.
Genius.
And
really good.
Should be the president. I cried. Honestly, most of the lines that got me this episode were Schmidt's, like, little reactions to Rhonda's pranks more than, like, the real pranks themselves.
Yes. No, I agree. I think some of Schmidt, like, Schmidt played this off well here. Can I say something, though?
Please.
I am giving Rhonda the episode win.
Already?
Yeah, I'm going to give her the episode win. I think Rhonda came in, went big, and she goes home with the title.
Well, okay, so you...
She went back to Afghanistan the same day. I mean, that's incredible. I don't know how you get to Afghanistan. Like, I don't know how you get called up.
Was she in Afghanistan, or was she in, like, a whole, whatever, like, a base?
Ah, like Fort Dix or something.
I don't know
that
we know for sure she was already.
That's a good point. I didn't think about
it. It did seem quick. It did seem like a quick, significant.
Was America at war in the world of New Girl that, like, she would just, like, there was such an emergency that they needed her, like, Rhonda to save the United States? I don't know.
Akiva, we can't even confirm what day this episode aired. So how are we supposed to know? So as Akiva saying, I just said Akiva. That was weird. As Akiva is saying, they were supposed to get it annulled, but she shipped out, was called for duty. So there's no annulment. And what makes this whole thing work for me is that Schmidt gets that prank and finds it hilarious. Like, I love that part of it. Rhonda, like, I just loved all of that.
I'm sort of selling myself on the episode more.
I think you sold me on the Rhonda bit because I never really liked Rhonda in this episode.
Yeah, no, I think the pranks are original.
All right, PK says, well, which of the pranks was your favorite? Such as, God bless Kelly for giving you the multiple choice here, fake stabbing, the Schmidt face mask, the wine salting, the marriage, Rhonda or the army sabotaging the annulment. I'll add the battery and the huevos rancheros.
What's my favorite?
Yeah.
I think the wedding. I think the wedding is the best one.
There is something special to, like, the Schmidt face mask or the battery of, like, the running bit of like, how did she do that? She was sitting right here the whole time. Does she have someone working with her in the kitchen? Like that kind of, that made me laugh.
No, I liked. I want to know. Do we see prank at Sinatra doing more pranks in the future? That really, I'm curious about.
I thought she was pranky Sinatra.
Pranky Sinatra. Sorry, you're right.
That I think our discussion of that was the best part of this episode. I don't think it's gonna get better. Maybe we should just call it. do you tell me if we see Rhonda again?
Rhonda, I think we see again. Is pranking a big part of Rhonda's future? That I don't know.
We'll make a call.
No, I think we don't ever hear about the pranks again.
I think it would be very, very tempting for a show like New Girl that doesn't always tie everything up to just conveniently forget about this marriage and forget about Rhonda, you know? And like, that's something I feel like we'd be like, but what about Rhonda? Winston's technically married at the end of the series and we never address that. Like, I feel like that's a loose end that people in the writer's room would very quickly forget about.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Okay. So meanwhile, Jess is taking Cece's idea to disguise herself as a man over email and make the deal as a man. I love Jess's man impression of my wife's on my nuts. I need $2,000 off the MSRP. Go Clips. Matt Stewart says, have you ever created a fake email to screw with someone?
I made a fake job once as a bit. I've talked about this, I think.
Say more.
We were going to do something with it, and we ended up not. We were going to make like a mini documentary. Basically, the bit was I was going to hire a personal assistant. Okay? And
I think we need more context. Was this Renat? Like, what was
no,
the,
this was like when
was
I
the
was
audience?
When I had just finished college, I think.
They had
my friends and I.
Bazinga.
Oh, my gosh. and I had email in high school. Like, what are you talking about? And,
I'm just kidding.
And basically, the idea was I was teaching, and I think I just started working for NBC. And I wrote, I work in the book world and the world of television, and I'm looking for a personal assistant. And the economy wasn't great, and 450 people applied. We posted on Craigslist. 450 people applied in, like, the first 30 hours. And we
that's
ended up
sad. Like, what's funny about that? Like,
I was a young, I was like 22. No, but it wasn't fake. We were planning on actually compensating.
It was fake, but you were going to pay them for their
job. Anybody who came on an interview, we were going to compensate. But then I think someone ended up getting, cause also like a lot of my friends didn't have jobs then, but, ultimately, I forget why, but we didn't end up doing it. So the worst thing we made people do was send one resume.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but here I am saying it. I won't say who, but someone in the fantasy league talk about how seriously they're taking it. Do I have to take this out?
That is wild. Probably.
There's no identifying fat features. Whatever. All right, I'll take it out. People should know better in this league to tell me anything that can't be said somewhere else.
It's true.
All right, let's talk about the dude pass, Kiwi, because basically this whole B or A plot really is about Sam and Nick's, like, grapple to be the man in Jess's life. And Nick basically offers to peruse the email and give her a dude pass, which I take to mean, yeah, a guy would say that. Producer Kelly says, I think this is to me. Who are you going to for a dude pass, Kiwi, Chester, Rob, or Brian? Yes, PK is feeling like starting fights. Honestly, I can't think of a worse foursome to ask for a dude pass.
The dude pass?
Like, I would probably go to Missy to be like, does this sound like some douchey guy? And she'd be like, definitely.
You don't think Brian would be better?
You think Brian's a douche?
Oh, no. You said a dude pass.
What'd you say?
I thought you said a dude pass for some reason.
It is a dude pass, but then I said I'd ask Missy if this sounds like a douchey guy, and you said no. Think Brian would be
you
better.
Said dude pass. I think no, not a douche. Definitely not a douche.
You think Brian would? Brian, I asked Brian something that was so funny on that. I asked, there was some like cheating-ish kind of thing going on, and I was like, I asked it as a question, and he was like, I am so far removed from a mindset of anyone who would do anything like this like manipulating a woman to making it think it's her. But he was like, I have no idea. I was like, that's so valid.
Yeah, we're four old married men. So it's not a good crew probably to ask these questions.
It's funny because I wouldn't say any of you are old, but yes, I would not. But as far as who would be the best negotiator of a car price, maybe Chester.
Probably Chester. Yeah, he's a lawyer. Yeah, definitely Chester.
Yeah, so I would say Chester in this specific scenario, but Missy in every other one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this was actually interesting because then it becomes a little bit about Jake Johnson or Nick being short. So Matt Stewart and I were on the same page because he said, how tall do you think Jake Johnson is? And provided the height, which is appreciated. I looked up not only Nick's height, but also David Walton, who plays Sam, because I was like, this is interesting because Jake Johnson to me doesn't feel short. While Sam does kind of feel tall. So do you have a guess on their heights? We need Jared Jerome.
My guess is 5'9" for Jake Johnson.
Okay.
And Sam, I'm going to guess, is like 6'3".
Okay. Honestly, you're probably right because it's posted that Jake Johnson is 5'10". So in acting, probably 5'8", 5'9". And David Walton's said 6'4", probably coming closer to 6'3". So that's good.
Hmm.
Good job.
That is good.
All right, so it turns out Jess is going to need to have a man come in and sign the papers, which I think doesn't really work. Like, I don't think, like, an anonymous person can sign for this and then, like, all of it gets assigned to her. Like, I don't think legally that works, but whatever. It was a fun bit.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not a big car dealership guy, but I doubt they're allowed to do that.
I did love, if I could wish a mannequin to life, I would. Like, I want any other man but you, and alas, you are there. I do have to throw the flag on Jess here. I think asking Nick to do this, given the tension between Sam and Nick, is unacceptable.
Why?
Because if somebody already... they were just discussing this on Real Housewives of Potomac, because this guy keeps cheating on his wife and then keeps getting into scenarios. Like, he's at a laundromat in a nail salon with his young, hot coworker. And it's like, all right, even if you're not having an inappropriate relationship and she's just a female friend, you have business not publicly being photographed with a young, hot coworker of yours while all of the energy you cause dies down from you actually cheating on your wife.
Okay,
so, like,
fair.
Here, Sam, she barely has Sam back. She cheated on Sam with Nick. They have attention as a result. They're fighting the day before about who's going to help you with this. I don't believe that Nick was the only way she could get this deal done. Like, out of respect for your boyfriend, you don't need Nick to come help you with this when you know he's going to rub it in Sam's face and Sam's going to be upset about it.
Okay, you've sold me.
I think had they not had the history, I'd be like, Sam, grow up. Like, if Sam was just jealous of Nick independently, I'd be like, no. But she did him wrong. So, like, now there has to be a little bit of a correction here.
Course correction.
Yeah. All right. Nick, of course, derails the process. Some laughs, like, whatever. A lot of misogyny. I almost said anti-Semitism is a gut reaction, but in this case, just misogyny. I cracked up at Jess saying, I wish I had just reversed Tootsie'd. Which means she just dressed as a man.
Reverse Tootsie. They never caught on, also.
Was there a movement?
No, I think it ended. It stopped here. If you Google reverse Tootsie, I'm sure only this episode comes up.
I don't know if I'd want to Google that.
It's true. Maybe I won't do it on my work computer.
and I also love Jess. No one helps me better than I help myself. Of course, the salesman is like, oh, you women always bring your drama in here. Basically, Jess hijacks a car and drives dangerously until she gets a good deal. And Jess and Nick and Sam don't agree to bury the hatchet. They agree that they will. Sorry, my brain just broke. They don't agree to move on. They just agree that they will fake it in front of her. Producer Kelly says, is the dynamic between Jess, Sam, and Nick accurate? Is it true to life that Sam would forgive Jess but not Nick in this scenario?
Yeah, I think it's realistic. I mean, what loyalty should he have to Nick?
Well, that's the real question is, what loyalty would Nick have to Sam? Jess is the one who, like, allowed a kiss to happen while he was in the relationship. However, like, Sam wants to date Jess, so it doesn't really work out for his wants and needs to hate Jess.
Right.
So he's got to hate Nick. I think this is a classic moment in New Girl, like, when Nick is like, this is adultery and violence. This part of the male brain has not been civilized. I'll teach my sons to hate his sons, and I expect the same. Like, that moment has always made me laugh. I don't know how sustainable it is. And in fact, I think had I not been listening to Renap recently, I would have said it's not sustainable for them to pretend to like each other for Jess's sake, given how close everyone is. But I believe you had a writer, a listener write in to I Rate Sins Not Tragedies, a Renap, of a person who was confessing that she fakes liking her husband's, what, family and friends?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it is possible.
I think there's a lot of fakers out there.
I mean, it's tough. Like, Nick and Jess are so close. And if, like, I just think Sam's, like, disgust for Nick is, like, really justified. Like, I think Nick is inappropriate in his relationship with Jess for being his ex-boyfriend.
Yes, and also Sam is, like, right to have his alarms up at anyone in Jess's world after what she's done recently. Like, we're days removed from, you know, restraining orders, though.
Yeah, that's true. All right, let's get to the guide. I mean, you worked it in flawlessly. We talked about Rhonda. You said Sam last week, I said, had one more ep. How are we feeling now?
I think probably one more.
Producer Kelly says, how are we feeling on the Jess and Nick relationship? Are they doing a good job avoiding Keevy's dreaded will they, won't they? Like, are you feeling like this is really about Nick and Jess, or you feel like this is about Nick and Sam? Or Jess and Sam?
It's a good question. I don't know. I don't think we're at Nick and Jess yet, but I think Nick and Sam is... Jess and Sam is just about over.
All right. Who won the episode? You said you're giving it to Rhonda.
I'm giving it to Rhonda.
All right. Producer Kelly says Winston, because he got a real substantive storyline, which feel few and far between. Plus, his prank marriage is next level, and he won over Schmidt and Cece to his not the one plus one. Got it. Plus, mm-hmm. His joke about the coffin maker disappearing into her busy season totally makes up for the fact that he now has to hide a prank marriage from his mama. I guess Jess has a good episode, too, but I'm still mad at her from last episode. Totally fair and valid. Matt Stewart says Jess for getting a good car deal and getting her men to coexist. If I have to be giving two awards. If it is based on who won the episode, of like who had the best outcome, I think my headphone just died. If it's based on who had the best outcome, then I think it's Jess because she took control of the situation, got the boys to settle down, got the car. If it is who was like the funniest, I mean, Schmidt made me laugh the most. I could see rounding that up to Winston, but I think I'm going to give it to Jess just because I'm still so confused. Five and a half seasons in, I still don't know what this award means.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's subjective. The metric is whatever you like every time.
I don't like anything. All
right.
Okay. As I said to Rob recently, Rob said something like, oh, I don't like that. And I said, Rob, I don't like anything, but I reserve my escalation for significant things. Like,
fair enough.
For judging things by what we like, I mean, anyway. All right, Banana Minute, you ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, Yosef. Hi. So people have been saying it's a real long time since the last Banana Minute. So people want to know, where is Banana?
Working in the gym room.
He's working in a gym brewery? He's in first grade. Are first graders allowed to work, even? Does he not go to school?
Not exactly. They'll go to school. Very annoying. We just went.
School was very annoying?
They were annoying him all the time.
How do you annoy a banana? To bite him?
No. They were taking his hand, pulling it.
Well, the kids were pulling his hair, so he dropped out of school and started working in a gym brewery.
Yep.
Okay.
And then he could come back to school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, there you have it. It was very, very good to hear from Yosef. As I said to you, I'm glad Banana was able to find work.
He never, it's a little sad he never talks about Banana anymore. So that was really,
Like, he used to bring him up, remember? It wasn't like I invented banana.
Oh, yeah, I know. But I'm happy to hear Yosef's general musings. Let's find the next banana. I don't know that we need to make him talk about banana.
Your
parenting is, like, your nostalgia for your little baby son is mm-hmm. bleeding into the
He's
entertainment.
He's in first grade now, you know?
I know, so let's see what else he has to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if he went to school and started talking about his imaginary friend, they'd probably make fun of him. Now, I feel like he would beat them up. Some kid said he's the strongest kid in the school. I guess the imaginary friends can't last forever.
All right. Well, look, I was waiting for him to yell at you for being like, he's not a banana, but he did get there because he mentioned the hair. So mm-hmm. you were being a little funny about the biting him. I also thought I'm losing my touch on interpreting Yosef because I thought he was saying school is boring, but he said annoying.
It's annoying. School's annoying.
It's boring.
I would have to think. I'm no psychologist, but I'd have to think someone has pulled someone's hair. He didn't just come up with that out of the blue, right? There's got to be some hair pulling. Now, Yosef doesn't have a lot of hair to pull, but...
I was thinking that because I was like, where do kids get that? But at first grade, if you were to think of how do I annoy someone, like, that's TV, that's cartoons, that's someone pulling hair in class. I don't think, like, last week someone pulled his hair.
Right. Now, I do think he's more likely to be the hair puller than the hair pulley, honestly.
It's not for me to say about your children, but mm-hmm. if I had to rank your kids in order of who's most likely to pull hair, Yosef probably would be number one.
Well, Adira has a lot of hair, and
but I don't think she's pulling hair at 14.
But she's a gym bro. She goes to the gym like 3 or 4 times a week, which most 14-year-old girls don't do. So maybe she's going to get stronger. She talks about her gains all day, so maybe the gains are for to pull other girls' hair. I don't know.
So do you guys compare your gains?
Yeah, she tries to. She'll, like, make me, like, do abs and stuff like that. But, I mean, she's really, like, going, you know, no joke. She's going, I used to go 4 times a week. Now it's probably once because that's when I'm in the office. But she's really pretty serious. Like, that was her 14th birthday present. She signed up for the gym. She's very serious about it.
I love that. All right. Yay, health. All right, Kiwi, let's wrap up. You already know next week's episode is Helmet, so while you noodle on that, people, leave us a review. Leave us a question. Pinned in my pinned tweet at, I'm going to say at Kiev26. No, at last tweet. You can follow Kiev at Kiev26. Check out Renap. Check out Challenge coverage over on RHAP. We'll be back next week. I don't think we're getting third time ice cream because we were over a week on this one. But hopefully we'll be back next week to talk about season 5, episode 16 of New Girl, Helmet.
Okay, Helmet. Someone gets a concussion and needs to start wearing a helmet.
All right, if that's true, we got to get Dr. Amanda Rabinowitz on here for next week.
Yes, if I am right, then she will be the guest for next week's episode.
All right, Kiwi, talk to you later.
Bye.
See you, I will see you. My bite and my dog, my bite and my